Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another edition of...
Fingers on Buzzers!
Lots of clapping. I love it.
I was kind of doing that, you know, that clap emoji thing that you put on Twitter when you're like making a point. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. When you're like slapping someone around the face.
But then it really annoys people who are using like screen readers. Because it's every letter. And then it's clapping hands emoji. It takes them five times as long to read the tweet than it should.
Well, if today's show was an emoji, Jen.
Yes.
It would be a crying with laughter.
Aubergine.
No, they wouldn't be aubergines. They're rude. The rude emojis. It would be crying with laughter
vegetable.
For Vicky Stone. We've got lovely Vicky Stone.
Yeah.
So some musical notes and crying with laughter. The comedian, musician and star of the brand new series of House of Games.
Yeah.
Which starts this week, has started this week, in fact, and she's going to talk us through what it's been like doing that. And then we also have a wonderful quiz from the lovely Jake Meller.
It's a cult / game show related, and that's all we know at this point. That's very exciting and intriguing.
Yes, but you will all enjoy it because it is game show related and everything. So it's going to be a great show. Shall we crack on?
Let's get on with it.
Now, Jenny, we are lucky enough to be joined by Jake Meller.
Hello. Why am I waving? Hello. It's audio.
Let's all wave. It looks like a lovely big game show now, doesn't it, with us all waving away at the camera. But the listeners can just be enjoying the thought of that.
I think going for gold, they started with everybody waving in the intro sequence.
They sure did.
Occasionally someone would do like cheap fingers at the camera or just a little salute, a nod. Yeah, classic.
Or a little motto. What do you call them? Mascot.
That's the word. Mascot.
Yeah, a little mascot.
Well, Blockbusters. That was big on mascots, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. A gonk.
Anyway, I've digressed. Jake, it is lovely to have you with us, and let's have a chat with you about your life in quiz.
I have been quizzing as long as I can remember, not necessarily professionally or ever, but certainly one of my earliest memories is sat in front of the television, ITV Primetime Family Fortunes, when it was still Les Dennis, not whoever it is now. I don't know. They change it. It's like the Doctor Who.
Not as good as Les Dennis.
No.
Change the host.
They all pale in
they do.
Stature, basically, to the mighty Les.
I think I've seen probably at least 100 different quiz shows, if there's that many that exist. Probably one or two episodes, because I think one of the few channels I actually had on my telly when I was growing up was Challenge, which is just the dream for any game / quiz show fan.
What did we do before you could have basically 24-hour quizzing at your fingertips?
I know. For a while, my TV provider lost some of the UK TV channels, but in exchange, they gave us like an on-demand quiz channel instead, which was a fine compromise in my idea. But then I think they got rid of it when they won the UK TV back. So apparently more people want to watch Top Gear than like Endless.
That's lies. That's lies.
Damn
lies. I agree.
So what are your faves, Jake? What's what have been the
historical Family Fortunes, but I would say of recent times, I don't know if it counts as a quiz show, but House of Games, I was really excited when my mother just texted me saying...
Funnily enough, we are also chatting to Vicky Stone, who has launched this season of House of Games, and she gives us some very interesting inside information. Yeah. So you might want to listen out for that. But that's definitely a quiz show, and Only Connect is...
That's definitely a quiz show. If I'm ever sort of just... I will tend to watch Pointless just because it reaffirms my love of the completely pointless sort of... If I want to feel smart, I'll watch University Challenge, and that will be a mistake because I will only get 3 or 4 questions right and it will be a complete yes. And so I will watch Pointless and be surprised that finally my Star Wars knowledge comes in handy or whatever. Absolutely no use in the real world, but I can name everyone who appeared in all 3 of the original Star Wars films and stuff like that, which is great, but...
Well, that will include my ex-landlord, who played, I want to say, Red 6?
Dennis Lawson?
He was a low number red.
I have no idea.
I will Google it, because this would be a very good answer.
I heard this on The Chase, and I can't remember the name of... I don't think it got the wow it deserved
in the
studio, because I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Would it be a pointless answer on Pointless?
I reckon.
I'm pretty sure it would if you can't even remember.
Well, at the time, it was because it was a very early series. Like they had slightly different rounds, and so in the final round, they basically just whittled down the number of answers that you could give until the final round. And so I think the only pointless like cast member of Star Wars was Wedge Antilles because he was like sort of in the background of a lot of shots, but didn't get much speaking.
He's actually Red 4.
Ah, Red 4.
Yeah.
Still nothing.
No. No, it's a shout out to Jack Clough, who is, I think his second ever screen role was Red 4, and he's still acting.
I was going to say, was it his last ever screen role as well?
Absolutely not. He's played a few henchmen back in the day in Bond and stuff like that, and yeah, he's good at a variety of character roles.
Well, do you know what? And I think that Star Wars trivia is always popular. I really can't think of a subject that gets... Well, Doctor Who, Star Wars.
Yeah, Doctor Who is like... I did a pub quiz sort of when I was at university and they took suggestions for specialist rounds and I just went up to them and sort of went, Doctor Who? And then I was really embarrassed that I didn't get... Because, like, everyone expects you, if you know Doctor Who, to know absolutely everything from, at the time, I think it was like 56 years or something. And I may have missed one or two of the really random new Who trivias, but I got the main things, like why they died and who the actors were. I just didn't know which school this one random character who's appeared for 3 minutes went to and got killed in.
If you want to be a true Whovian, that's the kind of stuff you're going to know.
It's a tricky track to tread, he's doing any kind of fandom quizzing, because there's always somebody who knows more than you, always.
It is, and that's why I've actually found that I've enjoyed writing quizzes more recently. So when lockdown began, the way to like stay in touch with friends, we saw that people were doing these Zoom quizzes, and because I'm a boring person, I once bought my friend a pub quiz book for like Christmas because I think I'd run out of ideas. So I said, why don't we get that out? And we did, and it was absolutely crap, sort of, but very basic questions. And I thought it might be better if I just like make a bespoke one with questions that we might know.
Yeah.
And or if we don't know it, we'll at least like learn something interesting. Yeah, so I went and designed one, and I like the feedback I got from it, because I made like a picture round with a Frankenstein of different like cartoon characters, like whose arm is this, whose leg is, you know, how many can you name?
Lovely.
And the feedback I got just made me feel like warm and fuzzy. Like really sort of like, oh, this was actually really like worth my time, and like a lot more rewarding than just like reading out of a book that was probably, you know, printed off the internet and shoved in England.
Yeah. Well, I think this has been quite a common discovery from Zoom quizzing over lockdown, is that, you know, if you can tailor make a quiz to the interests of your friends, then obviously they're going to enjoy it more. I remember there used to be a game on the PlayStation called Buzz.
Oh, yeah.
And you could write your own quizzes on it, but you'd put them on the PlayStation server. And what used to give us enormous gratification was, like, me and my husband, you know, we'd do something like the contents of our fridge. So I would give him a question... Oh, you know, a quiz on you know, how many eggs do we have? Not that we keep them in the fridge now, but how many Shout eggs not. Do we have? And so these were the kind of questions that we put on this Buzz quiz about, you know, what do you how many types of mustard have we got and that sort of thing. And then we would look on the PlayStation server and then find that like 50 people had taken our quiz about the contents of our fridge.
I don't think you can back out once they start is the problem. That's probably why, because they thought it was something else. And then I was actually briefly number one in the world on the solo mode of one of the Buzz games. That is an accolade that will not be on my tombstone.
Excellent stuff.
Oh, well, I'm very impressed. You've gone right up in my estimation there, Jake.
Oh, dear.
We love the fact that you've said you enjoy setting quizzes, because that is exactly what we want you to do for us. So will you come back later on and test us?
Absolutely not. No, yeah, I would love to, definitely.
It can be about the contents of your fridge. It can be about Star Wars, Doctor Who. We don't mind, but we'll see you later. Thank you very much, Jake Miller.
Thank you.
Now, we are thrilled to be joined by a musician, a comedian, a composer, and a quizzer as of this week. It's the wonderful Vicky Stone.
Hey.
Hello, my
lovely ladies.
Now, you tweeted this week. I was so excited because the new series of House of Games started up, and you tweeted that it was the first time you've ever publicly quizzed. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, obviously, I've done lots of quizzes in pubs and in the privacy of my own home at Christmas, and obviously endless Zoom quizzes over lockdown. But yeah, I've never done a television quiz before, and I really liked it.
Well, now, when we're recording this, we're recording on Monday, so when it's just all about to unfold, but this will be going out on Friday. So would you mind giving us a little rundown of what happened Monday to Thursday, and then our viewers will be teed up for today's show?
So obviously all the episodes are filmed on one day, and it was my sort of first job back from lockdown. Bam, all of a sudden you're doing five episodes of a TV show in a day. And I mean, there were stuff like things that I found really hard actually was five different outfits.
Yeah.
I've been wearing nothing but pyjamas for 3 months, and now I've got to look snazzy five times in a row.
I know, so, and then with one option as well. Like, it was like, can you bring six? Yeah. I was like, no. And because I did it just after lockdown as well, and I will be honest, there weren't that many outfits that fitted me, because as you say, elasticated waist, mate.
Yeah, so I start off quite strong. I think I've got two good outfits, and then from Wednesday onwards, it's just bizarre. It gets really odd. There's just some like very strange combinations of things. So I started. There's two things to note here. So I think that I'm very affected by snacks.
Right.
And because there was no green room, there was no like have a little break, have some snacks, because we weren't allowed to socialise. I was really good on episode one. I won it.
Yes. That would have gone out.
Yeah, it was gone out. So I won episode one. And then I started to flag.
Yes.
So I started to need snacks. and I'm starting to slightly like lose concentration because it's quite hard. Like actually staying focused for that amount of episodes in a day.
Yeah.
And then by the end of episode 4, I was like, guys, I need a banana. And then I had a banana and I was back on it for episode 5.
Well, we will look forward to seeing what unfolds on episode 5. And who were your competitors and how did you feel that you ranked against them in terms of areas of knowledge and, you know, what were your strong and weak areas and what did they do well on?
Well, it was Stephen Mangan, Adi Apatan and Jean Johansson. Mm-hmm. And Richard Osman was kept on saying, oh, it's a comedian's game. Comedians tend to do too well at it. And I think it's the type of thinking that you have to do as a comic. You're very good at, especially that answer splash where you're shoving two things together. That's literally your job as a comic. Mm. It's to find these disparate things and then somehow make a joke out of them. So that I think I found that relatively easy.
Yeah.
Well, not easy, but it's part of my brain that I can access. But some of the more general knowledgey, countriesy stuff wasn't my, stuff that's more actual questions I found a bit harder.
Well, also the thing about House of Games is it's about knowledge. It's also often about teaming up and because you are put together, aren't you? And did you have any interesting team situations?
I think we all teamed up with each other. I don't think there was a bit of rivalry in the end between me and Stephen Mangan because most episodes we were fighting for the win. Mm. So yeah, by episode 5 we were quite competitive. We were quite friendly early doors in the early episodes of the week, but by the end of it we weren't. And then there was a weird ritual which when you're swapping seats in that show, when you're swapping seats, there's now a sanitising. So you stand up, the producers come in, spray your seat. I mean, obviously they're not going to show that, but there's the sort of like real-time momentum of, hey, let's join a team, was sort of stopped by, right, pause, stand still, anti-back. Now you can pretend to move. So, you know.
It's really weird, isn't it? That whole. Because also, they can't put your mic on you or do your makeup. I mean, the worst thing for me was I cannot do makeup and I rely on the brilliant makeup artists. And, you know, you turn up and they go, oh, no, you've got to do it yourself. I was absolutely heartbreaking. That's the only reason I go on telly is to get my makeup done.
Well, same. So they said there was no hair and makeup and I hadn't had my hair done. And I was like, oh, God, okay. If I have my hair done at like 8 o'clock the night before, it might actually look half decent for the filming in the morning. So I go to hairdressers in Hammersmith, which is near where it was filming, and I went to hairdressers in Hammersmith. And I just asked for the sort of highlights. They're called balayage, just a posh name for like colour at the bottom of your hair. And I asked for that, and I didn't actually ask how much it cost. It was an ordinary high street hairdresser's. And at the end, it was 200 quid. I nearly had a heart attack.
Oh my God.
And they were like, oh, we can give you 10% off. Thanks.
That's it. Well, because balayage, of course, it's the hand painting, isn't it? So basically, you know, they're charging for their artistic skills, Vicky.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you can, you know, the viewers really think it was worth. I really hope that my hair just screams 200 quid. You know,
They'll all be sitting there going, that is lovely balayage. Look at the balayage. Isn't it gorgeous? Yeah.
Should get extra points for that balayage.
Yeah.
I didn't. I actually wore a skirt that I made myself as well.
Fantastic.
That is actual lockdown, post-lockdown stuff. That's a proper cliche.
You are amazing. Well, you have not had an idol lockdown at all because, of course, you were also responsible for one of the most gorgeous BBC One idents I've ever seen during the lockdown.
Oh, that was really sweet. Thanks.
It's really nice. It's actually incredibly uplifting piece of choral music which you wrote and arranged and recorded and choreographed and everything. Great.
Yeah, it was really cool. I got asked to sort of write it, and I know a lot of singers, and so this is a choir that I already direct, and so I because we had genuinely been singing together over Zoom during lockdown, just to kind of, you know, to keep arts and communities together. I think, you know, you do whatever you can, and so yeah, it was really nice. And then there it is, and it's played about 4 times a day now.
Yes, I know. Well, it does lift the spirits rather, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
I know, we'll let you know.
Contributed to our lockdown mental health, Vicky. Thank you.
I mean, Jenny and I do quite a lot of singing, Vicky, so, I'll be
expecting. Oh, we're always harmonising on this podcast.
One of God's
attempted
worst
harmonising.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even attempting to. If I hit a harmony, it's more by luck than judgment, really. But yeah, and you. But of course, you've had the lockdown disappointment that we've all had as well in terms of work going away, and I was devastated for you about panto season.
Yeah, so that was a really hard thing. I mean, my 2020 had some really cool stuff in it, and like, I was meant to get married on Sunday.
Oh, love! Oh,
I know. Oh. So I was meant to get married on the 11th, and then I was meant to start rehearsals for Panto on the 19th, and you know, so it's like, yeah, you know, I knew quite early doors in the year what it was going to be, and then yeah.
Oh my goodness! Oh,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Well, maybe next year you get married at the Panto. That's the only way to do it, is because you'll be rescheduling the Panto, right?
Yeah, the Panto's happening at the Lyric Hammersmith next year. But we've put the wedding in for January 31st just because, I mean, things are actually probably going to be exactly the same. But it gives you a bit more time, because if it's going to be 15 people or whatever, at least you've got a bit of time. To plan.
But you know what, as well, it will cheer up January. I think you're doing a massive service to everybody, because we'll be so down after Christmas anyway. And then...
we did realise this. We picked January 31st because most of our friends are sort of musos, or so Sunday is a good day to get married, so January 31st. But then we thought, well, our anniversary forever is going to be the tax deadline.
Hey, you're never going to forget it. No chance.
Yeah.
HMRC are sending reminder letters about your anniversary.
I just think, like, for the rest of your life, do you really want that as an anniversary?
But then it's also a good anniversary to have, because everybody is sick of doing dry January. And because my birthday's the 27th, and if I have my celebrations the weekend after, everyone goes absolutely nuts.
Oh, see, I never do dry January because I do panto. So panto, you do so many shows. You can't really drink. You honestly can't do a proper panto season and go out and do all the Christmas stuff that everyone else does. So yeah, I'm like wet, wet, wet January. It is.
What better time to get married? That's a very good idea. Now listen, we normally quiz our guests, and obviously now you've whetted your public quizzing appetite with the House of Games. Have you got any other quiz shows that you want to appear on, by the way, now that you...
Yeah, I quite like to do The Chase, The Chase. Pointless, I'd love to do. The Pointless is a tricky one to get booked on as well, because you've got to fit in with the theme. So once you get approved by the... Do you know what I mean? You can get approved by the execs or whatever, and then they've got to find an appropriate themed show for you to be
You've
on.
Got loads, though. But I mean, your Venn diagram is huge. You've got panto, you've got music, you've got comedy, you've got playwriting.
You've also got to pick your partner right, though, surely. Mm. That's got to be the big thing. Because, I mean, we've heard tales on this podcast about people who regret the person they went on with.
Yeah, me. No, I'm kidding.
Haunt you for life.
Oh, I'm kidding. But no, I think I've been regretted as a partner choice. Well, shall we give you a quiz as a kind of warm-up for all these things. So because we sort of go back to your early life, I was delighted to read that you started out as a flute player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I am another flute player.
Ooh.
I mean, of no standard, but my dad really liked... Now, well, here's the first quiz question.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Which flute player did my dad really like? And that's the reason why I had to do flute.
James Galway?
Of course it was.
Yeah.
10 points.
This is just a little fun fact about James Galway. I got to interview him a few years ago and I took my flute book. I've got a 1990s edition of like James Galway French flute pieces. And I took the book and I got him to sign it, and he found out I was a flute player, and we were in the BBC and I was interviewing him, and his wife was incessant. She needed to leave. It was dinner time. And he keeps on getting flutes out of his suitcase going, just try this one. Try this flute, Vicky. Try this flute. And then one flute comes out. His wife's like, Jimmy, dinner, come on. And out comes another flute. Just have a go on this one. And out comes another flute. And there's like five flutes that come out. I keep having a little tiny go, like looking over his wife going, sorry. And just when you think his wife is about to explode, he gets out a tin whistle, plays the hornpipe. At which point his wife just bundles all of his stuff into his suitcase. He's like, right, we're leaving, including the book of mine that he signed.
Oh, no. Right, if you're listening, James, or wife of James, please send it back. I love that. It's like a drunk trying to leave the pub, trying to have one last drink, you know.
One more flute.
Oh, I love that. Now, do you know, when I was thinking about flutes, I watched two things today that lifted my spirits. So one of them was a recent flute performance in a movie. Can you guess? I mean, I say recent. It's from the last 10 years.
Flute performance in a movie. It's 10 years. Anchorman's probably more than 10 years ago.
Oh, well, maybe I'm just being old. It was indeed Anchorman.
Oh, it was Anchorman. Yeah, I mean, that's the jazz flute. That's the big jazz flute movie thing, isn't it? I'd be surprised if there was another one.
It is. Well, and then I also watched Lizzo doing her tribute to that, if you haven't seen that, it's amazing.
I have. Oh, she's superb.
Well, she's done more for the flute, I have to say. Her and James Galway. That's it, isn't it? Those are your two. That's all the two flutes you need, really.
Flutes in pop culture.
The main quiz I wanted to give you, Vicky, was because obviously you are a classically trained musician. And in the world of quiz, a lot of people, I think, get into classical music because of quiz. I've had this quite a lot from people saying, well, I never really listened to classical music, but then it's something that comes up, particularly if you're going to go on something like University Challenge or, you know, one of your highbrow quizzes. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you three quiz questions and then sort of discuss the areas of classical music knowledge that those kind of rely on and how we can bone up on those. So Jenny, I'm sure you've...
This is very helpful for me because...
Is it not one
I'm
of
not,
your
I'm not very good. I'm not very good when music doesn't have like lyrics and a chorus and that I've got, I need to have something to hook it onto. I'm not so bad with music that has been used in pop culture. So if it's been on an advert or in a famous scene in a film, I'm more likely to remember what it is because I need that association.
Well, shall we start with that? Because that is one of the questions I had, because I think you're absolutely right. Often a question in a quiz will be, you know, which piece of classical music. So the question I have for you, Vicky, and in fact, Jenny, you can play along because you haven't seen these, right? So which symphonic poem by Richard Strauss is used in Stanley Kubrick's film 2001, A Space Odyssey?
That is also Sprach Zarathustra.
It certainly is. Also used in that movie is another famous classical piece, another Strauss, not Richard Strauss.
Blue Danube.
One of the waltzes, then, if it's the other Strauss.
It is the Blue Danube, correct.
Blue Danube, yeah.
Very, very good. Some other examples. Apocalypse Now uses which Wagner piece? It's when all the helicopters are...
I don't really watch films. I'm just guessing. Run of Valkyries?
Yeah. It surely is.
I mean, do you know what I mean? I'm just guessing. I don't know the films.
Brief Encounter. I don't think... I mean, that's... It's a Rachmaninoff piece.
Oh, what would that be? It'll be a piano piece. I don't know, actually.
It's Piano Concerto number 2.
Piano Concerto, it would be a piano thing.
But those are probably... It's probably worth having up your sleeve about, you know, a few of those, isn't it, Jen, for quizzing?
Absolutely. I mean, that you've kind of reached probably the limit of my being able to name, well, not being able to sing a piece of classical music, because I can picture the scene in it. I'd say I like also Sprach Zarathustra, because it's it was also played this is morbid, my friend's dad requested it at the crematorium as the curtains closed.
Drama.
It was very dramatic, and nobody really expected it, and I thought it was wonderful because you had to time it just right with the old Tim Parney. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. My God, yeah. Now you're giving me ideas for my funeral there.
Did you see the University Challenge where the Royal Academy music team got the music questions wrong?
Yes.
Oh, that always happens, doesn't it? That always happens.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's another one.
It was a cringe moment.
The University Challenge Christmas specials, they always have the alumni of various institutions.
Yeah, because mine would be Royal Academy of Music, so who else is there? There's Helen George from Call the Midwife.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
She went there. Elton John.
Nice.
He'd do it. Yeah, he's not busy, is he?
Annie Lennox might do it.
Do you know, she might. Yeah. She might. She looks like she'd like a quiz. I think she'd be... And she'd be good fun in the bar afterwards, I feel. I feel she'd be a laugh.
Campaign for that team.
There you go. Yeah. Right, we're basically giving the producers of University Challenge a free team lineup there, so we've done very well. I'm going to give you another question, and this one, I think sometimes with the classical music questions, all you really need are the first few words. I'll give you the question, then we can discuss it. So the question number two is, which Italian Baroque composer was known as the Red Priest?
I don't think I know that.
My contention here is that almost, if you have memorised like five Italian composers, you've got a pretty good chance, because this is Vivaldi.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
And I was thinking, if it's in a sort of general quiz, what do you reckon, Jen? You're not going to get massively obscure ones, are you?
No. So you stand a good chance if you know a couple. My problem there would be I don't really know what Baroque is.
Well, it's probably like probably a good that's the thing to know, is that there's the difference between the genres, so the Baroque, classical, romantic, so like, you know, sort of working out where the composers fall in those in those genres,
having a go-to answer of if you're given a year or something, you know, well, that period would cover Puccini or whatever.
If you if you're a romantic composer, or nearly always answer Tchaikovsky. Job's a good one.
I'm writing that down. Thank you. Shortcuts.
I tell you, the one that always gets me is which contemporary composer.
I know, but that's really wide. That's really wide. And then it depends, because a lot of the contemporary stuff, apart from like film composers, it's just it's that kind of shit. And you're like, I don't know, that could be anyone. During my A-level music, I lost my composition coursework, and I remade it in an afternoon by smashing my hands on the piano, and then pressing a button on music software called Quantize, and it makes it into into a coherent piece of music. And I said, "Oh, this is my take on Schoenberg's piano miniatures." And Schoenberg is a contemporary composer that is just all over the place. Like it's actually easy to make something tuneless, I think, and go, "Oh, that's contemporary." And then you just haven't got a tune. You've just neglected to write a tune. That's all that's happened there.
The forgetful composer.
Yeah, you just called it contemporary music.
Yeah. Well, at least I now know Schoenberg, so that's good. That's given me one more. That's one more answer.
He was atonal, was his thing, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And that's that easy. That's a piece of piss. I could knock out something atonal any day of the week.
Well, do you know?
See, I know it from the different direction. I know about that from quiz. It's come up in quiz before. There was one the other night where I absolutely astonished my parents by answering Stockhausen to something. How did you know that? Was like, well, it wasn't Schoenberg.
Yeah,
and they went, "What?" And I was like, "Yes." I sounded really smart, but it was just because I was guessing at that kind of person.
Philip Glass, or who's the other one who's like a bit like Philip Glass that I always get confused
with? Oh, But you see, Philip Glass is very tuneful but very repetitive.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but it's more lyrical, actually. I'm a big fan. I was watching, what film was I watching the other day? Rewatching The Truman Show. And I said to my other half, I was like, oh my God, this sounds like Philip Glass. Did Philip Glass do the score? And he was like, no, there's no way Philip Glass has written the score to The Truman Show. And then go on at IMDb, and he bloody well had.
There you go. There's a point.
It's like Philip Glass doing the score to The Truman Show.
It's a good movie. And that's another quiz question we have. Now, I'm going to give you one more before we let you go, Vicky.
Okay.
And this one is Schubert Symphony No. 8 is better known as what?
Oh, I should know this. Alpine?
Nope.
Bollocks.
Number 8 is the Unfinished Symphony.
Oh.
And this is my final little quiz tip, is if you just learn a few of these, because that comes up all the time,
right,
doesn't it? Like these nicknames. So
Pastoral.
Pastoral.
That's Beethoven, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Beethoven number 6. Beethoven number 3?
Moonlight.
No, that's
14.
I'm just guessing.
Pianist Sonata 14. Beethoven number 3 is the Eroica. And Chopin's Waltz in D-flat major.
Minute Waltz.
Yes. There you go. You see,
that's a classical music quiz question about quiz.
Yes,
it's the just a minute theme music.
The theme tune to Just a Minute.
Oh,
which is another program we'd like to see you on, Vicky. So
yeah, I'd like to do that. The radio ones. Yeah, I
think you'd be very good.
Yeah.
We have very much enjoyed chatting to you about quizzing and cannot wait to see the final episode of your House of Games.
I feel like we've had a trajectory of somebody getting to love quizzing on TV, and you've just done it in one day, though. Just realizing it takes stamina, it takes snacks.
It does.
It starts out as fun and games, but it doesn't end up that way.
I mean, I have to say, there's something I've been considering before we sign off, is that I think I do love the 2p machines, and so I think I could be brilliant in Tipping Point.
Yes.
Oh my God, and I love how they talk about the strategy. I love that.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of time for that.
Yes.
Let's get on the phone to Ben Shepherd. Stat.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's make that happen.
I am ready. I can knock tap off a 2p machine. I can get, you know, where that shit's balancing on the edge.
Yeah.
I can get that. Right.
Yes.
So I think I'd be perfect.
I know. You see, you've got both sides covered: the quizzing and the pushing,
and the 2p machines.
Well, there we go. So coming soon to Tipping Point. And thank you for talking us through your House of Games experience and everything else. The lovely Vicky Stone.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Right, now it's time to welcome back someone we spoke to earlier who is going to quiz us. And I can't wait. He's someone I admire very much because of his quizzing prowess on the PlayStation game.
Lucy's personal hero.
Now defunct, but I'm still very impressed. It's Jake Meller. Hello, Jake.
Hello,
Jake. Have you got that quiz you promised?
I do, yes. I'm very red now. I'm embarrassed. Sorry. I've never been anybody's hero. Question number one. We've mentioned this already, actually. Family Fortunes. In homage to a famous computer scientist, what name did Bob Monkhouse give the electronic board? Hello.
Oh, yes. I know this one.
Okay.
It was Mr. Babbage.
Mr. Babbage was correct.
Oh, Mr. Babbage. Nice. Was it Mr. Babbage? Yes.
Ding. Point.
Very good.
Was that only Monkhouse's era?
Yeah. I watched it all the way through, but I have probably seen most episodes of Family Fortunes over the years, of sort of like Sick Days or just random challenge being on in the background. And it was very rarely mentioned. And it was also very rarely mentioned that the 100 people surveyed was actually like the audience, which is why they always knew the answer when they said, does anybody have any ideas? Because the only time
I never knew that.
I heard him mention, he mentioned it because there was a name of famous Les and his name wasn't the top answer. And he went, I wouldn't mind, but we asked this lot. So, and they went for Leslie Crowther or something instead as like a more popular.
That's gotta hurt.
Definitely, yeah. Question number two. Who was the youngest person to have guest hosted Have I Got News For You?
Wow. Oh, this is a great question. Oh, I don't know. Do you think a pop star, Jen? Or, I mean, can we confer on this one?
Yeah, I think we should confer on this. This is tough.
Someone who's a member of the Inbetweeners. Like, did Simon Bird ever do it?
You were close with your first idea.
Oh,
okay. Pop stars. Okay. Someone like Billy Piper?
Oh, that's nice. but yeah.
Oh no, he's Jake's face.
I want to say similar. I want to say similar in terms of like
age.
Yeah, I think so, and also appearance and gender.
Okay. Well, that's all good. So we're looking for a blonde female pop star. Who's sort of good value on those?
I don't know if she's blonde. I think she's changed her hair a few times over the years.
Lily Allen.
No.
Oh.
I was going off changing the hair then, and about the same age ish. But is that closer or further away than Billy?
Billy is still the closest we've got.
Okay. Someone who's sort of big enough name and articulate and God, I really. Oh, I'm struggling.
She's Welsh. Does that help?
Oh, Charlotte Church.
Correct.
Yes, of course. Oh, yes. Very good.
Yeah, She's about the only pop star, really, I can think of
that I would cast
as well, because she's a very smart cookie.
Yeah,
she's brilliant.
A bonus point for the age she was. Or do we not do bonus points on this thing?
Right. No,
we do.
You're the quiz master. Honestly, you tell us. She was 23.
No.
Youngest ever.
Yeah?
No.
I can't even think of anyone who'd be approaching early 20s to do it.
I mean, Daniel Radcliffe was still quite young when he was.
Oh, I suppose.
On it.
Gosh, is it younger than 23 then?
Yes.
Wow. 19.
My God.
Even younger.
What were they thinking?
Well, that's the thing. I think she was quite like political when she was younger, and still is in a way. So I think they got all sorts of people on. Have I Got News For You?
17.
Correct. 17.
Wow. Goodness me.
Storming ahead.
Yes.
She even appeared on it like the year before when she was 16, but only as a panelist. Mm-hmm. So.
Cramps.
Yes.
Good for her.
Question 3. In 1998, Jeremy Clarkson presented the first series of which cult game show?
Oh.
98. A cult game show, which means it didn't
not
run.
Not about the occult.
It did run for seven years.
But
oh, wow. Not with Clarkson. Kind of,
yeah, not with Clarkson. He only did the first series.
Personnel change.
Six others.
Gosh.
And then it's rotated.
Could we have a channel?
About to say, BBC Two, I think.
Wow. 98.
Good Lord.
BBC Two.
Which is scary, because I was 4 and I remember watching it.
So, oh my God.
I don't remember, last week, but I remember being 4 years old in front of the television.
And is it a game show?
Yes, it's a game show. I will give you, the only clue I'll give you is the contestants weren't always necessarily human.
Robot Wars.
Correct.
Ah.
Yes.
Wow, that was him as well. Wow.
Yes.
I sort of vaguely remember that as well, yeah. I mean, I was a lot older than 4.
No. Question number 4. I mean, this one's a lot easier. A staple of British TV since 1982, Countdown, originates from which country?
France. We know this one. France.
I thought so, yeah.
Chiffre et lettres.
Correct.
And it's...
Avec Monsieur Richard Wadley.
What's... French for correct. Correct. And finally, it's back to cult, but which cult game show aired in Arab countries as The Fort, Italy as Never Say Banzai, and in the USA as Most Extreme Elimination Challenge? I did not make these up.
Takeshi's Castle?
Correct.
Yeah.
There we go.
And that was completely coincidental that 2 questions were about Craig Charles' works. That's never a coincidence.
He inveigles his way into quizzes up and down the country on a daily basis.
Go on, do the tiebreak.
I did make this tiebreak specifically for you two.
Lovely.
I'm not trying to butter you or anything. It was so. It's slightly annoying because a series just started, but as of July 2020. Mm-hmm. How many episodes of Only Connect have aired? And then closest wins was the idea.
Right.
Oh my
this
God.
This is hard because some series were a lot shorter than others. I'm talking about you season 2 with part-timers. See, this involves like maths and all sorts of stuff.
Do you know what I'm doing? I'm just waiting for Jenny to say something.
I think this is series 5 more. 14.
Wait for your cards by rules.
Is it series 14 or series 15? This one. It's about that.
One of those. Yeah.
I want to say series 14. And I don't know how many episodes would be in a run, like 20. This is maths. This is like a nightmare scenario for me having to do maths. You're writing down a number.
I've got a figure in mind, Jen.
Okay, what's your figure?
And it's low. I think you've gone too high.
No, I think
some of the series were very short. I'm going to go 140.
No. It's going to be 280.
Jenny is definitely closer. Well, the thing is, I've just been like double, triple checking because obviously it's changed since then. The total that Google gives is not including specials. So without specials, yeah, well, it's 310. God,
right. Oh my God! Without. Okay, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's a decisive win for Jenny.
I'd say it was a decisive win for the.
Lucy, I think it's. But... I think it's. You would have definitely got it 100% right, Lucy, if they'd ever had you on, and they still haven't.
They still haven't had
Lucy Porter on the show, either as a contestant or as one of the question writers. And I think this is a huge oversight. Jenny Heath.
Emma Kennedy and Mitch Benn are on it this week.
Really?
As we speak, wow. But as we record, I think they're on it. So I will watch that and see how they get on. So there we are. So thank you so much, Jake. That was an absolutely brilliant quiz.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us, Jake Mellor.
Thank you. No problem.
What a treat that was, Jen.
It's been a delightful nugget of podcast history right there. I think it was sugary sweet is what it was.
Everybody knows a lot more about both classical music and stuff that Jake was on about.
Family fortunes.
Family fortunes. Very good. I enjoyed that quiz enormously.
Wonderful.
So thank you very much to Vicky and Jake, and thank you most of all to our gorgeous listeners. And we'll see you next time on
Fingers on Buzzers.
I love that.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.